Okay, starting Daf Nun Chet today, right at the top. If you remember, we ended with this question on Shmuel. Okay, let's go back to Shmuel for a quick minute. The Mishnah talked about all these tamim, and then the Gemara said right away that Shmuel said, "But kakar ka'olam, if she checks the ground underneath her and then sits down on the ground and she finds blood after, she's tohara because she didn't have a hargasha." We discussed that there's different definitions what exactly this hargasha is, and it seems clear that he needs hargasha. Then they brought several questions against him. These sources all seem to say she's tamei'ah, even if there's no hargasha. And the first three, we came up with an answer that, well, something was going on there, in which case she could have had a hargasha. She just isn't clear whether the hargasha was because she was urinating or whatever it might be. And then we answered all those, but the last source seemed to say, well, look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, clearly, there's no hargasha. So Rabbi Yirmiyahu Difti says, well, Shmuel met midoraita, and our Mishnah is midrabanan. But today we're going to have a different answer. And even though Shmuel is very famous for having the shita that is all about hargasha, you have to have a hargasha to be doraita, Rav Ashi actually answers differently. Rav Ashi amar Shmuel, Rav Ashi says, Shmuel huda amar karabi Nechemya. Don't worry that our Mishnah contradicts Shmuel. It's not that Shmuel held doraita but derabanan even without a hargasha. No, our Mishnah doesn't, Shmuel doesn't hold like our Mishnah. Shmuel holds like Rabbi Nechemya, who says, Kol davar she'eno makabel tumah, eino makabel ketamim. If you look back at Shmuel, Shmuel said two things. He said, if you check the ground, right, she sits on the, she looks at the ground, there's nothing on the ground, then she sits down, then there's blood, she's tumah. And then we say, I'm sorry, she's tohara. Sorry, I confused my language. She's tohara, she's pure. Why? And then the second part is because it says, bivsara, achatargish bivsara. According to Rav Ashi, the second part is not really the words of Shmuel, okay? It doesn't have to do with Hargasha. It has to do with his particular case. It was the ground. And the ground doesn't, it's not a substance that could even be susceptible to Tuma. And therefore, he holds like Rabbi Nechemya that Kol Davar She'eino Mekabel Tumah is it Mekabel Ketamim. In which case, you'd again, it's very interesting. The Gemara doesn't address this issue, but it's as if the Shene'emar was said by the Gemara and not by Shmuel himself. Because if Shmuel himself said, well, she has to lahargish, and that's why, on the ground, then it's hard to say what Rav Ashi said. So you'd have to somehow say that it really doesn't have anything to do with hargasha. It's a specific case of the ground versus our Mishnah, which was talking about on herself, on her body, or on her clothing. So that's the big distinction here. And then the Gemara actually says, interestingly, like you would think it would say bishlama to the first opinion, because it makes sense with the word shene'emar. But that's not where the Gemara goes. The Gemara actually says bishlama, it works better with the Rav Ashi. Why? Because hainu dekamar karka, because the case was specifically about the ground. Ela l'Rav Yirmiyahu, my iria karka, filu glima nami. He could have, for all intents and purposes, talked about a glima, cloak, which is a much more likely place to have it, and also just more common that we've been discussing that. So, and also more, right, if there's a whole debate about makabel tumah, not makabel tumah, and according to Rav Yirmiyahu Difti, that's not a factor here, it's just about did she have a hargasha or not, then you would likely put it on something that could be susceptible to tumah, and yet Shmuel says it's not. So the Gemara answers, according to Rav Yirmiyahu, lo mebaya kamar, it's this lo mebaya structure that we've seen many times, which works like this. Not only this, but even that, right? Lo mebaya glima de lo mivdak shapir. Now they make an interesting assumption. Again, one can always question these assumptions of the Gemara, but not only in a case of a cloak where it's not there, it's never really thoroughly checked. So why is it never thoroughly checked? Maybe you could suggest because it has folds and creases, and maybe you're not, you know, when you check a cloak, maybe you didn't check inside all the creases. Maybe it came from, maybe it was, right, loma by a glima, not only a glima, right, you could still say it came from somewhere else. Ela afilu karka de mivdak shapir. But the ground, if she checked the ground and then sat on it, it clearly didn't come from anywhere else. The ground is pretty, I guess, flat and pretty obvious to be able to check it. And therefore, tahor. Okay, so they're basically saying, not only in a case where maybe you didn't check it so well, and there, for sure we'll say, without a hargasha, because you didn't have hargasha, right, glima de lo mivdak shapir, and you could say it came from somewhere else, right? That it wasn't, you didn't really check it well enough, and therefore one can assume it goes with something else. But even the karka where it's clear it came from her, still we're going to say it's tahor because she didn't have harkasha. That's how he would read the case. Okay, again, one could argue the logic and say maybe the ground, it's harder to see whether there's blood on. I don't know. It's hard to see, to know exactly. Okay, moving on. Now we're going to have a whole discussion about how, if she finds blood on her body, in what shape, in what form, where, why are we making these assumptions, that the mission, why is the mission making these assumptions that if you find it on the heel or on the toe, the big toe, it's going to be, it's going to, we're going to assume it came from inside her body. So now they say, Bishlama akeva, avidinaga ba'oto makom. Here one can learn maybe about methods in which people sat in those days, right? If you sit, let's say, Indian style maybe, so you could think that the heel maybe ended up near her private parts, right? In other words, theoretically, maybe that way or maybe some other way. Ela rosh godala maitaima, but how does her toe, her big toe get there, right? And think about the way you sit. Do you sit with your legs to the side or if you sit Indian style, your toe doesn't really get there. B'chitema zimnim dinaga ba'akeva. Maybe, what?
Squat.
No, squat also your toes wouldn't be there, but squat would be your heels, right? Squat would also be a good way, your heels.
Half lotus
position. Okay. Right, half lotus. Okay. Right, let's go to your yoga class and practice all these methods and figure out. Okay, so you might say maybe the, right, now think about the way you sit. Theoretically, I was thinking if you sit with your legs to the side, so one toe, the heel, will hit into the big toe, right? One heel might hit the big toe. So they could touch each other. And maybe, zimnin dinyaga ba'keva, meaning the big toe touched the heel. But if you say that, mima chaskina tuma, mima kom la makom. We don't assume that if tuma passes, yes, the tuma came out from her body and went to the heel. That we can say is tuma. But if it goes then another step from the heel to the toe, we don't say that. How do we know we don't say that? Bahatanya, it says in the following braita, haitala makabat safara. She had a wound in her neck. Shetuchal litlot. And then we find some blood on the front of her body. So theoretically, she could have leaned over and it could have, right, dripped from there onto her body. So therefore, tola. Okay, so therefore we can assume the blood came from there and not from her uterus. Al ktefa she'ina yichola litzlo, but if she had a wound on her shoulder, there it's not likely that it's going to drip onto the front of her body. The eino tola she'ein omrim shema biyadan nitalto vehevi'ato l'sham, because we don't say, well, maybe there was blood on her shoulder, she touched it and moved it to a different place. Okay, so there you see, we don't consider blood, that it transferred from one place to the other. We're not concerned for that, even though it could have been likely that that did happen. So what do they say? Alashani rosh godala de bahade de pasa avi de mitrame. Okay, what do we say? As she's walking, right, theoretically, the blood could drip from there. Okay, it seems like they didn't wear underwear or something like that, right? That's why, in general, we're having these discussions about her robe, right? That theoretically, the blood, or even if she was wearing some sort of undergarment, it wasn't like tampons or pads or something that really kept the blood from dripping. So theoretically, it could have dripped from there down. They do have something that they call kind of tampons, and they do discuss things like that in terms of carrying on Shabbat and things like that. But anyway, they probably didn't work as well as these, and therefore, one, theoretically, it could have dripped from there onto her toe. Okay, and that's how we get to the big toe. Now they're going to go back and question this assumption we made. Beloma chaskina tuma mimakom lamakom. We don't think that you can transfer tuma from place to place. Vahatanya nimtzet al kishrei etzbaoteha tmea mipnei sheyadayim askaniyotein. If you find blood on the back of her hands, okay, the back of her palm, not where, okay, so now you find on the back of her hand, the back of her fingers, so kishrei etzbaoteha, the joints, so the back part of the joints. So we say she's tmea because yadayim askaniyotein. Now, my taima. Now, normally, if you touch them, what does it mean yadayim askaniyot? We've talked about this in other contexts. They touch lots of things, but now when your fingers touch, it's going to be the front part, not the back part. So they say, must be, my time, alav mishum de'amrinan, badka b'chad yada v'naga b'idach. She touched with one hand, or askaniyot, and her other hand touched, right, her, the back of her palm ended up touching the front part where it had gotten bloody. And that's why the blood, we can assume, again, the blood came from her uterus, and she just, you know, it got onto her finger, from that hand went to the other hand, the back of the palm. So isn't that the reason? Lo, Shaneyada de kule avida de naga. Now they say her hand in general is considered askaniyot. Any part of her hand could theoretically have touched there, the back also. Okay, and therefore this doesn't prove anything or disprove anything about the fact that we still say lo mechazkin antuma mimakom lamakom. If it starts in one place, we don't assume that someone she transferred or someone transferred it to another location. Al shokava al parsoteha mibifnim. So now we said on her thighs and on her feet, right on the inside. Mibifnim ad hecha. Okay, I struggled a little bit to understand the reality of what they're discussing here, but we want to know on the inside exactly to where. Amri de Rabiana ad makom chevek. They say here it's where the ligaments connect between the knee, the different part right in by the kneecap there. It's where those ligaments are. Okay, now it's hard because I understood that they were talking about the inner part of the body. And I don't know exactly where the ligaments are. In other words, the ligaments are on the inside of the knee, not on the outside part.
They said the ligaments travel down the inside of the thigh and then meet at the back of the knee.
They meet at the back of the knee. So basically we're talking from the hollow in the back of the knee, and that's
along
where...
Along the inside of the thigh, and then it turns...
Okay, until the back of the knee. Okay. So then they say...
Remember, Michelle, in the Mishnah, didn't they use the terminology that reversed our common knowledge? Like they said, the front and back would... have been the size of the leg.
It called stadim the front and the back. Right. So here they're saying where in the inside, where do you get to before we call it the front or the back? So I guess it's somewhere in the middle there is in the back of the knee. That's where we're going to say is already considered the back. So now they want to know the makom chevek, what about the makom chevek itself? Ibailu makom chevek kilifnim o kilichutz. As it says, until, we're going to get back to this also later in the end of the daf today about this, until, right? Until means until and including or just until. So tashma, let's learn from here. Detani Rav Katina, am makom chevek, the chevek atzmo kilifnim. Okay, the chevek is already, is itself considered the inner part. Okay, so therefore we're going to say it's the inner part. Rav Chia b'reid Rav Avya, matne la behedya. Okay, he says this explicitly. And it's not that it was a question and then they brought some source, but he actually says this. Da'amri d'be Rav Yana, am makom chevek, v'chevek atzmo kilifni. Okay, so it itself is considered like the inner part where it would be tameh if you found blood there. By Rav Yirmiya. Okay, again, Rav Yirmiya's favorite questions. Okay, so what does he answer? He asked, kishir mahu. What if you have, and he's going to now talk about all different ways the blood can appear that would kind of make it seem like it's not really blood that came out of her uterus. So, for example, if it's in the shape of a circle, okay? So a shear it's like a bracelet, okay? So you have a circle with it empty in the middle, right? A bracelet is just a round circle, like as if you colored a circle. So would you say, right, that would be a weird shape to have come out of her uterus, gone onto her body in that shape? Kishura mahu, what if you have a line? Would you say a line like that would be? There's a little bit of play on words. Kishir, kishura. It's probably why he used the term kishir, to kind of make it a nice play on words here. If you see a line of dots, you know, like a whole long line of dots, or maybe actually...
No, this is a straight line.
Tipin, tipin, mahu. What if you have dots going all the way down? Because the assumption is if blood's dripping, it's going to drip kind of more in one location and not, because they question a little bit what's wrong with drops. Like that would definitely make a lot of sense. But the assumption is blood's generally going to drip in the same location. So you wouldn't have a really long line of drop, 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 drop. Kishurai, now I remember what they said there, that it's a very straight line. In other words, like you wouldn't expect it to be a super straight line if it's coming from that area. You know, again, these are all different options of you wouldn't expect it. La rochav, yirecha mahu. Okay, now normally if you would assume the blood would drip down, maybe you'd end up with a line going down, but you wouldn't end up with a line going across. That would be quite odd. So what do we say? So now they bring a source, tashma, look at our Mishnah. What did our Mishnah say? This was the Braita we quoted. Al basara, safek tameh, safek tahor tameh. Right? If it's on her basar, and it's safek tameh, safek tohor, it would be tameh. So al basara, when it says that, my lav ki agavna, doesn't it mean any way you find it al basara, we're going to say, if you're not sure, it's going to be tameh. So they say, lo, dilma da'avi kiritsua. No, maybe when they said, safek tameh, safek tohor is tameh, if it's on her body, they meant if it's in a formation, like a strip, where it would make sense, there would be this little strip of blood, that's how it would come out. So they don't really have an answer. There was a woman who saw blood on her, she was weaving, and it was on her, on the strings. As she was putting them through, she found blood there. Ata l'kamei de Rabbi Yanai, Amrei la, so they go before Rabbi Yanai, and right, she says, what's the story? Should I be worried that maybe, the concern is that maybe as she was passing the strings through her legs, like near her legs, that maybe it went near her legs and maybe it ended up getting blood on it. So what does he tell her to do? Interesting. Amar la, tezel v'tite, go do again exactly what you were doing last time and see if it's possible that the strings got near your legs and the blood theoretically could have gotten on it. So now the Gemara doesn't like his answer, and they say, v'hatanya, ein shonim b'taharot. It's an interesting concept. The concept is that when you're not sure if something became tameh or tahor, you shouldn't go, we don't go reenact and see. Okay, it's not a good test to go reenact, because maybe, it's a good question,
once
why?
Once you're aware of it, you're not going to do it the same way.
Right. So first of all, reenactments never happen exactly as you plan them. And so there's this concept, we don't reenact to try to figure out.
I assume there's also an issue with, if this is how you became tameh, we don't want you to go doing it again. Like, sort of, in theory, if it works.
No, well, the issue is.
I know, but sort of.
Right. Well, first of all, it's not that she's tameh, it's that the
string might be.
No, well, I guess it's that she, right. No, it's she. It's she's tameh, because if the strings are tameh, then it came from her, right? Well, there's also a whole other discussion, which is, if the strings are tameh, so first of all, a string is very small. It doesn't have, remember we said a ketam has to be a minimum size. So it would have to be a bunch of strings together have blood on it, because otherwise it doesn't make sense. The little teeny blood on a string is not going to make her tameh. So, but right, you're right, that it would then, you're actually right, that here it would end up creating a situation where if she's really not tameh, it could theoretically make her tameh if she were to do it. Okay, so now what do they answer? So on the one hand, he says, go do it again. On the other hand, we have this concept, you're not allowed to do that in Taharot. So they say, oh no, you misunderstood that line, Ein Shonin. Not misunderstood, but it's limited. Ki amrinan anu Ein Shonin likula, aval chumra shonin. When it comes to doing it, it's the opposite of what you said, Ruth, because what they say is, to be machmir, we allow it. And in this case, to say, maybe you really were tameh, to be koveh, that she's going to be tameh, we would do it. But not to be mekel and say, oh no, you clearly weren't tameh, because look, there's no way it could have gotten there. So therefore, if we're mesupakim, you know, in this case, to be machmir, we can actually be shonim. Haitapo shatito. Now we're up to this line in the Mishnah. She took off her cloak, right? And then she sleeps with it. So once she sleeps with it, then we can assume it doesn't matter what area on the cloak she ends up seeing blood. Since she sleeps with it as a blanket, she could theoretically find blood anywhere, and it could have come from her uterus. So now we have an interesting, this doesn't really add so much, you have to wonder why they brought this up, but it's interesting because it references a really interesting story that we learned in Me'ilah that I'll remind you of. Tanya Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi Davar Zeh Horeti Bi'ir Romi Li'isor. When I was in the city of Rome, I taught this li'isur, I taught this halacha. It's almost, I think what they're giving is the source for this, right? Maybe it was first taught. I don't know if it was first taught, or at least he taught this halacha. Whether he was the first to do it or not, I don't know. U'kishabati etzal chaverim shebedarom, when I got back to Israel and I taught it to my friends in the south, amruli yafeh horeta. They said, oh, nice job. You know, that's a good halacha to teach. Okay, so now, what's this story? When did he go to Rome? I'm going to remember the story in Megillah, but there was this great story where this, one of the rabbis dressed up as a Roman. They said, we can't do Brit Milah, we can't keep Shabbat, and all those things. And then they were basically, he tried to convince them that it's better, right? If we do Brit Milah, we'll be weaker. If we keep Shabbat, we'll have less money. And he convinced them to basically repeal the Gzeirot. Then they realized that he was a Jew dressing up as a Roman, and they put all the Gzeirot. Then Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, they said, we're going to send Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And then they wanted to send Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi. And then, remember, his father said, I'm not sending you, it's dangerous, right? And in the end, he goes. So this happened when he was there. There's another story told in Mikvaot, the same structure, that he taught this halacha about a mikvah, about a hole in a pipe that's leading to a mikvah. Also, he taught that halacha when he was in Rome, and when he got back to Israel, they validated his halacha. So it's interesting. I don't know why these two halachot specifically he said when he was in Rome, right? They both kind of, I mean, the other one relates to mikvah in general, but also mikvah related to women, and this has to do with you know, a woman and being a nida. I don't know why specifically he said it in Rome and who he was teaching it to in Rome. In other words, I guess they were Jews there. In other words, here they went But and also it was in a time of gzeirah. You would think there's a very particular halacha to be teaching when they're having trouble keeping the basic mitzvot because the Romans aren't allowing them. So it's just interesting in general to figure out why this is mentioned, that he makes reference back to that story. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Now we have a story about two women wearing the same cloak, obviously not at the same time. So let's say you have Arukah Shelavshah Chalukah Shel Ktzara. So you have a very tall woman, this great classic Gemara question. You have a tall woman who's wearing, because it all depends on from the waist down. So if you have a tall woman wearing the clothing of a short woman, Uktzara Shelavshah Chalukah Shel Arukah, or a short woman wearing the cloak of a tall woman, Im Magia Kenege Beta Torfa Shel Arukah, if it's already on the bottom half for the tall woman, shtehen tmeot, because then for sure it'll be on the bottom half of the body of the short woman. Vim lav, but if it doesn't get to her bottom part of her body, then the arukah will be tohora uktzara tmeah. Okay? Because again, they're not sure which one. Tanya idach, another bright is similar, except it's not about tall and short women, it's about two women. But kach chaluka, vihi shilta lachaverta, she checks her cloak before she lends it to her friend. So she says, this is clean. She gives it to her friend, and then, of course, there's a stain on it. So he tohora v'chaverta tolaba. Okay, so she is tohora, and her friend is tolaba. What does that mean? The friend can claim that it came from the first woman. Now, this is strange. Didn't she check? Right? So, amar of sheshet ule'inyan dinatnan. Avalinyan tuma, he tohora v'chaverta tmeah. No, there's two issues going on here. Okay, you never thought about it, right? What's the issue? Number one, there's the issue of is she tmeah? For sure, the second one's tmeah because the first one badka. But the fact that the first one said I checked, that's her word against the other woman who now says, well, there's ketem. You know, go prove that it wasn't there before. It's true you said you checked, but and because of that, we always say amotzi mechaver alav haraya. And basically, the question is, who is the burden of the cleaning bill on? Who has to clean it? So the second woman doesn't have to clean it because she could claim maybe it was there before and you didn't notice it. Okay, so when it comes to Dine Mamonot, she's not responsible, but when it comes to Tumantara, she is responsible. Okay, so now they ask a question, and it's a bit of a debate about are these two cases really connected? Or is it a fair comparison? So again, you have two women, right? In between one of them checked, then it went to the other woman, and we say the second one is Tumeah. How is this different from the next case? It says in the following braita, they were dealing with a bird, okay, like shchita of a bird, and there was blood around. The amount of blood that came out of the bird was a sela, right? That's a coin, but it's the size of that coin. And then you find a spot of blood on one woman's clothing that's a sela, and on the other woman's clothing that's a sela. Now, there was only a sela of blood altogether that came from the bird. So clearly we know that one of them can't claim that the blood came from the bird. So, shtehen tmeot. So what do we say? Both are tmeot. Okay, so now, what's the comparison here? It's not exactly a fair comparison, because in our case, there's only one spot of blood, and one woman already did a bedika. So she's b'chezkat tahora, really. And here, we have two spots, and we have no idea which one came from the woman and which one came from the bird, so it makes sense that we're equally putting it on both. So there's a bit of a question about what this comparison is all about. So one of the explanations I saw was that Tosfot says, we can look in Tosfot for a minute, Tema, ma dome lahach de la'el, tahacha ein litlot bezo, yoter bebezo. Right? In the first case, we have someone to put it on much more likely the second one than the first. But in this case, it's equal likelihood, right? I feel like I'm in a class about, probabilities. That's the word I was looking for, right? And that is, what's the probability? It's 50-50. But in the first case, it's a much higher probability. It's on the second. So Omer Rabbeinu Tam, I'm skipping to the next line. Debraita aire shenitaska betzipor zo achar zo. He says it has to be a case that's similar, right? Even though it didn't look this way, it must be first one woman dealt with the bird, then the other woman dealt with the bird. V'maitala nish'elet harishona yinu mitarim ota ho'il v'nitaska. B'shvil chavarta anu mitamim harishona shi tora gmura gam lemala af al pi sharishona b'duka nitam ena ho'ilu shnia tola b'l'inyan dina. So now we're saying that since she was dealing with it, it's more likely, says, if it was just the first woman, what would we have said? We would have said Torah, because there's a cell of blood, and a cell of blood came out of the bird. So therefore, since she was first, and if it was only her, we would have assumed. So he explains it in such a way that there's more of a probability that it's the second one than the first, because halachically, we would have judged the first one as if it came from the bird, because she has a cella, and the bird had a cella, and there was only one of them. Once she added the friend, then already it became a safek. So that's why we're going to say, so that's why there it seems to be a comparison. And then what's the answer? Why there's really no comparison? Again, Tosfot is getting a little creative. Rabbeinu Tam is getting a little creative here, because that's not what it seemed to say. Okay, there's other people who give different explanations. It's a good question how exactly they make this comparison. In any case, they say, Shani Hatam, De'ika Seli Yetera. In the first case, there's only one blood spot, and it's either one woman or the other. In this case, there's two blood spots, even though we can be tola on the bird. But since we don't know who to be tola more than the other, even according to Tosfot, you'd have to say, well, maybe, you know, or at least maybe you would think maybe, but still, it's still equal probability, even though what Tosfot, Rabbeinu Tam is saying is there's a halachic probability, but it's not an actual probability. Because again, if she was first, halachically, she would have been fine, right? But it doesn't matter, because either which way, there's an equal probability that it's each woman, whereas the first case, it's less probability. So anyway, because there's two sla'im's worth of blood, and there's two women here, so we're going to basically say they're both tameo. So it's not the same. Tanu Rabbanan. Another bright about a woman with clothing. Lavshash loshach halukim habedukin la. Let's say she's wearing three articles of clothing, one on top of the other. Okay, it's a cold day. She's putting on layers. She has three halukim, and they were all checked. If she walked through the shuk, let's say, she can even be tola if it's only found on her, the undergarment, okay? The third, the one that's closest to her body. Now, why is that? Didn't we talk about the other day? Well, wouldn't it have been on her, right? If we talked about her flesh versus her clothing, and if it would have been on her, right? If it would have come from her, it would have been on her basar or whatever. So what do they say? Because theoretically, when she's walking in the shuk, if she has three articles of clothing on, it could be one was moved in the wind and was flying up, or she picked it up and she still had clothing underneath her, right? And that's when she has no clothes, so obviously she wouldn't be picking up her clothes. But if she's wearing something underneath, theoretically the upper layers could have been lifted, and therefore we're going to be told that even if it's only on the tachton. If she doesn't have an opportunity, like she didn't walk through a shuk, she didn't pass by any blood, she didn't have any wound or anything, then she can't even be tola, even if it's only on the outer garment. Because again, theoretically, it could have somehow, the undergarments got moved somehow and it went on her upper garment from her body. Ketzad, what would be a case? Of Rabbi Shuk Shel Tabachim, tola filu b'tachton, lo of Rabbi Shuk Shel Tabachim, af be'elyon eina tola. So again, here's the example, which I kind of gave already, right? She walked through the shuk where the people were slaughtering animals. So then again, she could be tola even on the under one. And if she didn't, then she can't even be tola if it's only on the outer one. Okay, new Mishnah. Continuing the same topic. She can rely on anything. And if you find, here we're going to see Tamim or a big kula, we're going to see famous story of Rabbi Akiva here. Okay, big kula, if you have anything you possibly say it's dependent on, you can say so. And this is how we paskin. Shachata behema chayava of. So what would be a good case? She shechts an animal, either a behema, chaya, or a bird. Women shechting? Yeah, in fact, women shecht, okay? If you remember, in Chulin, we learned, the first mission in Chulin, Hakol Sherin, even though it didn't mention their women by name, okay? So Tosfot says there, it includes women. There's big debate about women shochtim, whether they can be or not. Even though they can be, it's generally not a woman's field. There are those who say, no, she actually can't, because she might get faint. And if you remember right, then she might miss, like in the middle of the shechita, she might then have this break between the shehiyah, between the simanim, right? She might get faint. We had a whole thing in the Gemara about people getting faint. So about, if you remember, when they first start shechting, right? The first few times is a bit of a concern because they might get faint. So also women are considered that, you know, they might get faint and they might, you know, kind of pass out while they're doing it. In Zvachim, it clearly says in Zvachim Lamed Aleph that Nashim are kasherot for Shchita. So those who say that women can't really do Shchita, it's really interesting. They make a distinction between Shchita in the Mikdash, where it's allowed, and regular Shchita, where it's not, which is very interesting. Why they would dafka allow women in the Mikdash, but not outside. Anyway, it's an interesting halacha about women shochtot. And here you have a good source that says, oh, here you have an example where the woman shechted behemachayava of. Or nitaska b'ktamim, or she was dealing with ktamim, you know, she was doing laundry or something like that. O she'ashva b'tzad asukim b'hen, or she was sitting next to other women who were dealing with them. Hargama acholet, here's the famous, right, she killed a louse. Harezo, right, she sits on a louse, for example. Harezo tolaba, okay, she can assume that it came from a macholet, right, from this louse. Ag kama tola, what's the size? Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus somewhere, ag kegrishal pool. Okay, if you take a fool, it's a bean, right? Like one of these flat beans, and you split it in half. Okay, that was like a good, they said these were like a good size that you could like kind of, if you split the bean, it's kind of a good way to stick it onto something and kind of measure it. So till the size of this split bean. What?
Beans never split on their width to make them smaller.
Right, it's not smaller. My understanding is it's the size really of the bean, but they say split because they would split it and then kind of, you know, check it by the size. I don't think it makes the size any smaller. Although I have a bit of a question, because in the Koran they said that the size is about 19 to 21 millimeters, and later we're going to see something else that according to the Koran, it seems from the Gemara that it's a bigger size, and they actually say it's 15 millimeters. So I wondered a little bit. I still think the split, it seems like they're splitting it lengthwise and not that it's going to be any smaller than that size. But anyway, we'll get back to that after. Okay. Va'af al pi shelo harga. Now he says, even if she didn't know that she killed a macholet, she can still assume, and this we hold nowadays, that basically if it's a size, right, even though nowadays we don't kill lice bugs or, you know, louse when we sit down, and if we find spots on our underwear, that's not, right, coming from a louse. But, okay, the Chatam Sofer has a very famous piece where he says, the whole thing of ktamim, right, nowadays, the only relevance of nida is for being together with your husband. In the days of the Gemara, or the Mishnah really, it was an issue of tumah and tahara, and right on the days of Mikdash, right, early Mishnah time period, it was both tumah and tahara and for your husband. Then, so ktamim is only for tumah and tahara issues, but there were gozer also for relations with your husband. Therefore, nowadays, that really, theoretically, well, there's no mikdash anymore, we don't need tumah and tahara, women should be allowed to their husband with tamim, but there's this concept of, once you make a gzerah, even though batel ta'ama, the gzerah, right, even though the reason is no longer relevant, we don't, right, it was already established and people were doing it for so long that they keep it, but we're not going to be any more machmir than they were, he says. So, you know, his issue, by the way, is not that we don't have lice bugs that at all, okay? His issue, the Chasam Sofer, he says, it's that our lice bugs are smaller, okay? So he basically says, right, instead of this size, our things should be that size, you know? And we're not going to go that, be any more machmir. So nowadays, you can say, well, there's no, we don't have lice bugs at all, but it doesn't matter because we're not going to be any more machmir since this is just a gzera that isn't really as relevant anymore. We just keep it because we keep it, but we're certainly not going to go and be any more machmir than they were. Okay, so now they say, v'tola b'binao b'ba'ala. Okay, also, if her husband or her son, it could have come from them, then she can also be, right, they have some wound and maybe her clothing got near them, we can assume it's from them. Im yesh b'makam, v'hi chola ligalao lo tzidam, hare ze tola. She had a wound that healed, but theoretically it could have opened up again and bled. She can also assume it came from there. And here we're going to have a story about this. Ma'ase b'isha achat shebat lefnei Rabbi Akiva. She came before Rabbi Akiva, amara lo. Ra'iti ketem. I have a stain. Amarla shema makai tabach. Is possible you had a wound somewhere? Amarla, hey, I did b'chita, but it already healed. Amarla shema yichola ligalal lo tzidam. Is it possible it opened up again? Amarla, hey, she says, yeah, it's possible. V'tiara Rabbi Akiva. And he said, well, then it's fine. We actually had this a few days ago also with Rabbi Akiva where he said something in his Talmidim, we're looking like, what? Amar lahem, ma dabar kasha beinachem? Why are you struggling with this? Shalom amru chachamim adabar lachmir, ela lahakel. Okay, which doesn't mean exactly literally what it means. It's not that they gave the whole din of ketamim to be meikel. No, it's that the laws of ketamim were meikel about them. In other words, it was a chumrah that because it's a chumrah, we can be meikel, right? Because it's not the ikar din. Shenemar, because it says, ishaki tiyezova zava, dam yezova bivsara, dam velo ketem. It says their blood is flowing and it doesn't say spot. Oh, okay. One more halacha in the Mishnah. Eid shehu natun tachad akar. If you have this eid bedika that she checked and it was under her pillow, v'nimtza alav dam, and she finds dam. We quoted this before. Agol tahor mashuch tameh. It depends on the size. If it's round, we don't assume it came from there. Mashuch is more of likely the size that would have come from there on a bedika cloth. Tivir Rebbe Lezer Barabi Tzadok. Okay. Now the Mishnah starts off and says, Tanina laha detanu rabanan. Maaseh, so now we have a braita that supports what we saw before, which is Maaseh v'tala Rabbi Meir b'kilor, v'rebi tala b'sraf shikma. There were cases where the rabbis actually did what it said in our Mishnah, which is Rabbi Meir said it could have come from the kilor, which is some salve that they used, I think for their eyes, or is it for their eyes, or for some, yeah, for their eyes that was red, and there was some around there, so he said, oh, the red, you can assume it came from there, and Rebbe said it came from the sap of the sycamore tree. Said, oh, if it had come from there, it could have come from there, so we can assume you're Tehora. Oshe Yashva. So now it said, notice it said if she was sitting among people who were dealing with Tahara, with Ktamim, right? With, what was the word?
Standard bloodstained garments.
Yeah, I'm just looking for the words in the Mishnah. Nitaskabak Ktamim. Oshe Yashva Betzada Sukimet. Where she was sitting. So they say, Yashva in lo Yashva lo. It sounds like she'd have to be sitting, but not if she was standing. So Tanina lahad Tanu Rabbanan, this is supported by the following braita, Avra b'shuk shel tabachim, safek nitaz aleha, safek lo nitaz aleha, tola. If she walked through a shuk, and we're not sure did blood get squirted on her or not, we're going to be tola. But safek avra, safek lo avra, but if we're not sure if she even walked through a shuk of tabachim or not, that kind of suffix, we're not going to be tola. She's going to be tmea. So likewise here, if she walked past this group, or maybe she was with this group of women, we're not going to say anything. But if she was actually sitting there, and then it's just a matter of suffix, the blood got on her, or didn't get on her, then already we're going to say that we can rely. So it depends on, you know, it has to be a close option and not a totally removed option. You know, maybe she was even there, maybe she wasn't there. Hargama acholet. So now it sounds like hargat in lo hargat lo. It sounds like only if she killed a acholet, not, right? I was discussing this halacha that when we see a spot this big, we can assume that there was a lot, she killed a louse, even though like nowadays we know she didn't. But the Mishnah seems to say only if she actually killed one can we be tole. Hargat in lo hargat lo. Matniti mani, who does our Mishnah hold like? Rashbagi. Detanya, hargat tola lo hargat eina tola devre Rashbag. The Chachamim omrim, ben kach u ben kach tola. Okay, the Chachamim say, it doesn't matter if you know that you killed one or not, you can always just assume that you killed one. So our Mishnah obviously doesn't go that way because our Mishnah says, harga, as if she, only if she killed it. Amar Rashbag, now this Breita continues, Rashbag says, l'dvarai ein ketu, l'dvarai chavarai ein sof. Okay, it's like a funny play on words, right? Mine has no end, and my friend's has no end either. Okay, like it's one uses the word Kate's by one and self by the other.
Kate's could be limit.
Okay, Kate's could be limit, right? So mine has no limit, and my friend's has no end. L'dvarai ein Kate's, I think they're really though kind of synonymous, but let's explain. L'dvarai ein Kate's, she'en l'cha isha she'tohara l'bala. You'll never have a woman who is tohara l'bala, according to me. Because what did I say? Only if you know that you killed her. Okay, if you want to get into their world, okay, apparently there were bugs all around and there were blood spots all over on their beds, according to him. And therefore, if you can't be told unless you know you killed a bug, well, I basically made all women to me'ot. It's interesting that he'll say that he has his opinion anyway, or maybe he's rethinking his opinion because he's basically saying this creates a problem. And maybe this is why he says the statement, which is, I know that mine is problematic, but also the divrei chaverai ain't so. She'en lecha isha, she'en atoha lebala, she'en lecha kol sadin u'sadin, she'en bo kama tipei dam. He says, but my, you know, chachamim are wrong also, because they'll never have a woman who's tamea, because they'll always, you can say, any spot on her bed is just going to be assumed that it was, or any spot on her clothes, or any spot anywhere, you know, we'll just say, oh, it's a bug. So what does Rav Shabbat say based on this? That neither is a good option. Aval nir'im, so he rethinks, he says, nir'im divrei Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus midvarai umidivrehem. So I'm going to go with Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, who's better than both of us. Shaya omer ad kama hitola ad kigris shapul. In other words, we're going to assume, we're going to give it a specific shi'ur. Then we can limit it in both directions, basically. Ulidvarav anu modim. And therefore, you know, and I will agree with him. Ula Rabbanan da Amrit. Okay, so, and I'll agree with him. Ula Rabbanan da Amrit Tola ad Kama. So now when the Chachamim said she's Tola, to what size did they say? Because they obviously said, and this is where I struggled with what the Koran said, because it sounds like they said a bigger Shi'or, right? They were less Machmir than Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. They seem to be, you know, kind of, that's what Rashbag said, Ein ledavar sof. So Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Tola bepishpesh va'ad ketormus. Okay, from the size of a, remind me how they translate pishpesh? A bed bug, right. A bed bug until the size of a lupine bean, okay, which according to the Koran is 15 millimeters. That's why I was struggling with the numbers here, but we'll leave that as a question. Tanu Rabbanan, pishpesh ze or ko kerochbo, okay, its length is the same as its width, v'ta'amo kirecho. By the way, the all these sizes are the diameter, okay? The 15, the 19, just so I be clear, because we're talking about round shapes, basically. V'ta'amo kirecho, okay? And its taste is like its smell, okay? The way it smells, it has a very bad smell to it, okay? This pish-pish. Now they're going to say, okay, I don't know why anyone's eating them, but he's saying if you were to eat it, right, even though it's obviously not kosher, it says brit krutalo, it's a funny way to say it, right? It's a way of saying, right, there's confident about this, but it's not really confident. It's just saying, this is very clear, that what? Shekol ha-molelo me'riach bo. Okay, that anyone who crushes it will smell, like, it's almost like a skunk, right? That has that bad odor. When here, it's different than a skunk, but it's saying when you crush it in your fingers, it has this horrible smell. Oko kerech bo le'inyan k'tamim. What's the relevance that oko kerech bo? It's in terms of k'tamim, in terms of its size. Tamo kerecho Li'inyan Shruma. And the purpose of Tamo Kerecho is to tell you for the halachas of Truma. Ditna, what does it have to do with Truma? Let's say you're eating Truma. Okay? Osha ta'am tam pishpesh befiv. Let's say you're eating Truma and all of a sudden you realize that there's a bug inside, there's a bed bug inside your Truma. So now you have a bit of a problem because you're not allowed to spit out the truma because it's truma and you'll just, you know, it's disrespectful to the truma. On the other hand, you can't eat this pish-pish. So how do you know that it's pish-pish? That's, if there's really a bed bug in it, then hareza yiflo. You're allowed to spit it out. Mina yada, how would you know, though, that there's a bed bug inside here? How would you know by tasting it? Because, especially if you've never eaten bed bugs before, right? How could you possibly know the taste of something you've never tasted? Tamo kirecho, because its taste is just the way it smells. So you can, I don't know exactly how you can taste smell, but basically you can tell by the smell of it. Bakate minayada, how do you know what the smell is? If you never eat it, then how would you ever know what the smell is? And that's when we said again, brit krutalo shakola malalome riachbo. Anyone who crushes it smells it, so even though we don't eat it, it could be you would already have smelled it from crushing it. Amar Rav Ashi, ir sheyesh ba chazirim. Okay, if there's pigs in the city, ein choshashin l'ktamim. Fascinating halacha. Any ktamim you can assume came from the pig, either because pigs are wandering around and they have blood on them and therefore they touch all sorts of things, or some people say because also they attract bugs. And then the bugs have the blood and we can assume the blood came from there. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, v'hada dokeret ki ir sheyesh ba chazirim damya. The city of Dokeret, even though it didn't have pigs, maybe there were slaughterhouses, garbage heaps, bugs, and things like that. It was considered like a city that had pigs in it. Ad kama hitolaba. So now we're back to this, what the size. So now, if you remember, what did he say in the Mishnah? Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus said, ad ki grishapul. I told you we'd get back to this. Ad, okay, until a grishapul. Now, ad va'ad bichlal, right? What about if it's the exact size of a grishapul and not less than it? So, Amar Rav Huna, we're going to have a machloket, obviously. Ki gris ena tola. Pachomi ki gris tola. Only less than a gris. Once it's a gris, then already it's not. Rav Chista amar ki gris tola, yeter mi ki gris ena tola. It's the gris, you could still assume it came from the bug, only more than a gris, you can't. So, lema ba'ad ba'ad bichlal kamiflege. Why don't we just assume that their machloket is, how do you view ad ba'ad bichlal in general, and that they'd hold that way across the board? De Rav Huna savar ad v'lo'ad bichlal, right? He says only until, but not the size of. V'Rav Chista savar ad va'ad bichlal, right? It includes. So Amar lecha Rav Huna. So Rav Huna could say to you, no, Ika ad va'ad bichlal in general. V'ika ad v'lo ad bichlal. And really, it depends on the situation. V'hacha l'chumra, v'hacha l'chumra. We're machmir no matter what. It's not that I hold ad always means ad and not including. No. Ad will be including if we're going to be machmir, and it will be not including if we're going to be machmir that way. So in our case, what does he say? Ad grease, but grease itself will be tameh, because we're going to basically say, right, we're going to be machmir. Rav Chista could say to you, Amar lecha, ba'alma em lecha l'chumra. Generally, we say we go l'chumra. Amrinan. Lekula lo amrinan. So generally, we're going to always go ad va'ad bichlal l'chumra. Okay, it doesn't matter which way it goes. It's, again, there's no general principle to we think ad means ad and including or ad and not including. No, we're always going to go l'chumra. However, in this case, he says lekula. So hacha, here specifically it's a unique exception. Kedrabi Avau, da'ama Rabi Avau, kol shirei chachamim la'achmir, chutz mikhi grishal k'tamim la'hakel. And that fits in with our Mishnah, where Rabbi Akiva was meikel by k'tamim. So normally we're going to be machmir, any ad va'ad, right? Any ad, we're going to say, it always goes whatever direction the chumra, but not in this unique case. That's one way of reading this, of saying, and again, this was the Gemara reading into each option. We don't know what Rav Huna and Rav Chista actually say. But some people said that they said it explicitly. Rav Huna amar ki gris, ki yeter mi ki gris. Rav Huna says it's a gris, is like a yeter mi gris, meaning it's going to be she's going to be tmea. Rav Chista amar ki gris, ki pachot mi gris. Bekamif lege ba'ad ba'ad dahacha, ki da'amrinan. And then the continuation of this version is, and then they described exactly what we kind of put into their mouths in the last version. Well, they actually said it themselves, that this doesn't have to do with Ava Abichlal in general. There's no general rule about it, right? It's either always Lahachmir or it's always Lahachmir except for this one unique case.